Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm Aish, I'm an addict.
Hi, Aish.
And my fear's divided at the moment. One is about talking in front of so many people. I have done 2 15 minutes here before years ago, and they're both car crashes, so be warned. Get very nervous. And my other fear is that I'm going to have a coughing fit. If I do, I'll try and make it spiritual and not too long, okay? So, yeah, it is good to be here tonight. You know, it's been a good day. Not every day's a good day. And sort of searching for inspiration, I usually do this. I turn to Just For Today and think that will give me an idea of what to share about. And it was a good one today. It was about living in the moment. And because there's lots of stuff to fear, but there's lots of stuff to look forward to. And I'll come to that in a bit, where I am in my life right now. During my youth, there's two things I was really grateful for. I'm really grateful for when I was using. It took me a lot of attempts to clean up, and you've heard it, like, done to death, but if there are any newcomers, please keep coming back. It can happen to you. You know, don't be put off, don't feel shame, just walk back in, please. Because me not walking back in a long time ago cost me 7 years. But the things I'm grateful for, too, one was that there was funding for rehabs when I was using, and I could go there yearly at the time. And today, you know, this is the thing that's holding out for addicts. And the other is that when I was using, there weren't camera phones, and so basically it isn't caught forever what I was like at that time, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, it's low. I did what I needed to get my drugs, which didn't make me happy for a very, very long time. And by the end, I couldn't look anyone in the eye. I didn't want to die, but I didn't want to live. My real fear was that I'd just go on, stuck in this rut, that I couldn't get it. Other people seemed to get it, I didn't. And the last time I came into recovery, I really didn't think, you know, that I'd get it, but I had nowhere else to go. I was 33. I went to a good place. I met two best friends who are still my best friends today. Yeah, I didn't have the best intentions, but something worked. And at the time, what was I? A cycle courier, and every day I'd cycle around, sort of ducking into toilets. I was very fast because I'd have to get packages delivered and sort of have to smoke everything really fast and then run in, deliver packages. And every day I thought about swerving in front of a bus. That's where I was. It wasn't a good place at all. Yeah. So I've gone a bit blank. So I got into rehab. I followed the suggestions, I went to meetings. I was asked quite early on to write a wish list, and I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, what would your wildest dreams be? I wasn't very good at this, I'd sort of run out of them, and I remember one of my first sponsors saying, go out and treat yourself today, you're working hard, you know, this Saturday, go out and treat, go and buy yourself something nice. And I came back with a can opener. That was I had no self-care. I'm still not great at it, I'll be honest, but it was nil at that point. It was nil. And wildest dreams, I just didn't have them. I didn't have the courage to have them. I didn't have the faith to have them. I didn't think I deserved them. You know, and for me, recovery's been a process, and it's been a sort of beautiful thing that I only realise when I'm looking back on it. And these meetings have got me through some things, you know. in a dark moment. I fell pregnant, I couldn't keep it. But I went into a meeting and found, like, my first sponsor, who was wonderful, and it got me through. And as the years went by, I didn't even realise how difficult I was. You know, I worked my way up through the career industry, and I ran a company, and by the end, and I didn't realise I was a complete bitch, but luckily I didn't know I was. I thought I was right, and I wasn't most of the time. But what happened was, as time went by, I could make decisions and stick by them because they were my decisions. When I was using, you know, I'd become a bike thief because my partner was a bike thief. I'd become a dealer because my partner was a dealer. You know, I'd pawn stuff because my partner stole stuff. And it was always following. I became a cycle courier because I was going out with a bike thief, so I always had bikes. And I did go for a job as a hostess, but I only earned one skirt, so I went with the cycle courier instead. So, yeah. And actually, I found my way. When I came into recovery, I didn't know what fashion I liked, what music I liked, what I wanted to do. And that confidence has grown. And so a few years ago, I was working in a courier company. I wasn't doing that much. Well, I was doing a lot, but I wasn't that fulfilled. And one morning, I opened up the company, and a courier walked in. I said, good morning. He told me to fuck off. And I decided not to work there anymore and that I was going to go back to school. And that decision, I've stuck by. It's been hard. You know, it's been poorer. Has led me to where I am now. I'm working in the field in what's called a really grim place, but I absolutely love it. I walk in to see people who have a really hard time getting recovery clean every morning and laughing, and it's just, I just knew I was in the right place from when I started. I absolutely love it. I'm studying for a master's, you know, and these things have happened just a step at a time. And where I'm going to lead up to is that wish list. So none of this was on there. And for the last year and a half, I've been physically not very well. I've been in pain a lot of the time. They haven't figured out what it is. It's not great. But here's the gift that recovery has given me is I never knew it was possible, is that I'm comfortable in my own head. And I actually get a bit tearful saying that because I didn't realise that it was possible to sit in your own head, to go anywhere. You can go into the grimmest situation, but you're okay in yourself. it is a massive gift, and I put that down to here. It's not the outside. I have enough. I have enough to eat. I have a place to live, I have all the stuff I need, but actually being okay in myself is the biggest gift of all. How long have I got? A couple of minutes. And I think the start of it was for me, I was studying in Brighton, and one morning I was sitting out on the doorstep with a cigarette and a coffee, and there were seagulls flying around and the bluest sky and the sea twinkling in the distance. And I was like, when's something nice going to happen to me? And I suddenly realised that actually it's happened. You're here. It's happening all the time. You're in a good place. And you know, those in their early days, just keep on with it. I hate saying keep coming back, but do keep coming back, because Yeah, you'll get to a better place, and when things are hard, you'll have the tools to deal with it. You know, you'll know it passes. You'll know it can get better. Just, you know, one foot in front of the other. And I hope someone got something out of it. I think I'm going to leave it there.
Thanks, guys.